Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nintendo World Report Connectivity Episode 348. I'm your host, John Reardon, and I am joined, as I often am, by Neil Ronahan.
Hello, everybody.
We've got a little bit, I guess we have, it feels like we haven't had that much news recently. We have a little bit of, we technically had a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I mean, we did have a Nintendo Direct. The Mario Kart DLC got dated, the next pack got dated, was it December 7th?
Did that happen since this episode?
Yeah.
Was that,
and,
did that
and,
happen last
golf,
time?
Golf is in Switch Sports.
Ah, and I still didn't buy Switch Sports.
Apathy.
Have you played the golf update yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Because I've just been playing Pokemon.
That's fair.
And Romancing Saga Mitchell Song Remastered, in which you can read my review.
That's too long of a title.
It's very long of a title. Which is a remaster of a remake of a game that never came out in the West, but the remake did.
Okay, I followed that.
Coming out in 2022 is Romancing Saga Minstrel Song Remastered, which is a remaster of Romancing Saga or Romancing Saga Minstrel Song. I believe it's just called Romancing Saga in the West. It came out on PlayStation 2 in, I believe, 2005. That game in and of itself is a remake of the Super Famicom game from 1992, Romancing Saga, which is the third game in the Saga franchise.
Okay.
It's fine. Read my review. It's on the website.
I think my brain just definitively decided not to get into that franchise. I don't know what happened just now, but lost all interest in it.
We might have some more Saga content, because, I mean, Square has gone Saga Gaga. But if I had to do a ranked list of Saga games I think are good, Minstrel Song is probably near the bottom.
Uh-oh.
It's above 2. I think 2 is bad. I like 3. 3 is very good.
I thought this was the third one.
No, this is the first one of Romance Saga.
But it's the third Saga.
Yeah, it's the third Saga game. In reality, it's the first Romancing Saga game. There's also Saga Frontier. There's a sequel to Saga Frontier, which is not out on Switch yet, but it's probably coming soon. There's also Unlimited Saga, which I think is like a board game. I'm at a point where I'm in deep with this, that whenever they release a new Saga game, I'm probably going to get it just because like I need to complete the set.
Yeah.
But it's almost diminishing returns for me because they're weird, abrasive games that I need to be in the right mindset to play. Because it is the stuff where they have the whole free scenario system where you can kind of like basically do whatever you want. But the dumb thing that is very present in Minstrel Song is where the more battles that you do, the more difficult the enemies around you get. Which means that like if you grind in that game, you're just going to make the game harder.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's aspects of like the free scenario system where you can kind of, it does play like, you know, more open than your typical RPG. It's something that I found really cool about Romancing Saga 3, which is, that came out, it was a Super Famicom game that the version of it on Switch is just the Super Famicom game, but now in English, is that it does a lot of open-ended stuff and honestly feels like Final Fantasy VI in the way it looks and plays. But Final Fantasy VI, even with its open-ended nature, is very much a linear game. You just have like options of what you can do in the back half. Whereas Romancing Saga 3 is just basically like you have all of these options and like there's no direct guidance, which is really cool, but also very daunting, especially because like these are the kind of games where you can almost screw yourself if you do things in a different way.
But that's not what we're talking about this week.
Yeah.
We are actually going to start the episode with some listener mail, which we got from one Jared Armstrong, who's catching up on some episodes, and so he's got some comments on a few different things, so we're going to work our way through this one. But he says, "Hey guys, sorry I'm a bit late on some things since I'm catching up on podcasts after missing them while moving out of state. So I have two or two and a half things, maybe three. Listening to your discussion of Pokemon reminded me of talking with my teenage nephews at Thanksgiving about video games and them asking if I played the new Pokemon game. I said no. I was 16 when Pokemon came out, so I was a couple years too old to catch the gotta catch 'em all fever and just never got into it. Is there a popular franchise you guys missed and then never got into because it started a bit after your time?" You know what? We'll take a break there. Neil, can you think of anything?
I mean, in a way, kind of like Call of Duty. I guess, if you look at like things that like got crazy popular that happened after an age where I would have been more into them, like even if Call of Duty 4 came out when I was in college, it should have been something that I gravitated towards, but it wasn't something that I got that deep into. And, you know, I mean, at a certain point, Call of Duty, I don't know if it holds the record still, but like, I mean, like the launches for those games would be like, it's the biggest entertainment property of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. They've definitely fallen a ways, but they're still big.
And even just the concept of how Call of Duty now is basically just like friggin' Warzone. And the campaign is such an afterthought. Whereas when I did play Call of Duty, like, I think I played one of the Black Ops games. I played World at War, which is like 2009. And I did play Call of Duty 4. I played the campaign. But the campaign is like the part of that game that everybody's like, that's dumb. And it's all about the multiplayer. And the multiplayer is something that completely, like, I understand the concept of like, oh, you prestiged and now you're going to go level up and get more guns. But it's never something that really appealed to me. So I guess maybe like just that kind of like grindy shooter. And Overwatch I've never gotten into. It makes me thinking back to the episode that I missed recently where you guys were talking about Overwatch. It was like listening to people speaking a different language.
My problem is that I'm so hip with the youths that like Overwatch and Fortnite and that stuff are probably too young for me, but I still went back and played them anyway. Like I said on that episode, I think Overwatch is mostly just, I want a traditional online FPS on my Switch and the pickings are slim.
Yeah.
But no, I'm trying to think, my gut instinct, and this isn't quite being too old, but my gut instinct was to say Fire Emblem. Not because I think I was too old when it came out, but like I had gotten into games like it already when it came out on Game Boy Advance here. And it, like Fire Emblem never landed the same way and I just couldn't get into it. And of course, then at that point, nobody was getting into it. It's a series that I feel like I look at it and I go like, all right, that is something I should like, but I've just never, it's never clicked for me.
Yakuza.
Yakuza is a good one.
Which Yakuza is just too daunting. Cause I did play through Like a Dragon and like thought it was fine. It's probably part of the, and I know, you know, Like a Dragon is not representative of what the prior games are. But my beef with that game is that I thought it was cool and it just went on forever. And what I've heard about all the Yakuza games is like, oh, you should play them all. And also outside of Yakuza 0, which I did actually play a little bit when I was on Game Pass, if it's still there, I'm not sure, is that Yakuza 0, I think, is like 15, 20 hours, but like every other one is like minimum 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yakuza fans, don't correct me. I looked at the How Long to Beat and was like, well, I'm not playing this series. I don't have time for this, and I'm not. And like, and I, it's with a lot of these things, like even Fortnite, I had my like month or two when it first came out.
Yeah, I played some Fortnite with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had a blast playing Fortnite. And it's just the kind of thing where I'm like, I totally understand the appeal of this. And like, it's something that I've not given, when I see news about Fortnite and like, oh, they're adding in Spider-Man now, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see where that would rule.
Yeah,
but I just don't have a lot of interest. It also doesn't help that the Switch version of Fortnite has somehow gotten way worse since it came out.
It started like as a pretty serviceable port, like totally playable, and we don't go back there now. Never go back there.
And that's, I mean, I guess, I can't even really play it on Steam Deck unless I figure out how to get Epic Game Store on it, which like I don't think is that hard.
You can do what Microsoft recommends for Apple devices and stream it from Game Pass, which I believe it's actually one of the few games on Game Pass that they have available to stream, whether or not you have a Game Pass subscription. It's like their demo game purely to spite Apple, which I really enjoy.
That's pretty good. I mean, I could play it on Xbox as well, but like it's the kind of thing where I don't think I missed the boat on Fortnite. It's just that, kind of going back to like why I call Call of Duty as a series that kind of, it's more like the multiplayer first person shooter of Call of Duty is a wave that I just, it was like, you know, it's not even like I was too old for it, because a lot of people my age were super into it. It was just never anything I got into.
Yeah. I'd throw Apex Legends in that category too.
Yeah.
Where it was one that I tried and just bounced off real fast.
Persona's weird because I played 3 couple years after it came out on PS2, and I played it at the perfect time. I played it when I was in college. And I think it was a semester where I wasn't that busy. So like, I think I put like 150 hours into that game over like a month or two, and I had a really good time. And then I played Persona 4 and just fell asleep. And I've never had a desire to go back to those games. And it's such a weird thing for me because, you know, Atlas line nonsense aside, like I thought, like the Shin Megami Tensei games, like I've played most of them that have come out in the past 15 years, like 4 and 4 Apocalypse Rule, 5 on Switch was pretty good too. Even like, you know, I played like Soul Hackers, and but even that, like I played Soul Hackers when it got ported to 3DS. And I'm looking at Soul Hackers 2 on Xbox and PlayStation. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to go back into that.
I have another one, which is like every PS2 game targeted at a young audience. So like Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, all of those. Those are ones that came out as I was getting to an age where I didn't want to play like 3D platformers anymore.
You were too adult. Right.
Honestly, now, as a refined adult who wants nothing more than to play 3D platformers, were I to go back to those, I suspect that I would deeply enjoy them. But like, who They're has good. Time? Yeah.
It's... Yeah. I mean, not every single one is good. Like, I believe Jak 2. Isn't that great?
Every time I look at the Jak, I've never touched a Jak and Daxter game, but every time I see footage of one, I'm like, wow, that looks like exactly the kind of game I would want to play.
So the first one is, and I'm going off of like, I don't think I've touched these games 10 plus years, so my memory might be a little fuzzy. The first one is basically like Naughty Dog trying to make Mario 64. And it's pretty fine. Good. The second one was the one where it's like, Jak's dark now. And I didn't like that one. I didn't play that much of it. And the third one is kind of like a good balance. The games, I mean, this isn't games that I was too, I mean, maybe, because I do kind of feel you in the PlayStation 2 era that like those games came out and I was like, eh. But in the PS3 era, because that's when they released a lot of those collections, I went back and played a lot of them. The Sly Cooper games are so good. I love those games.
I played the first Sly Cooper at a friend's house once, and that is the only time I've played any of those ever.
And I went on a big Ratchet and Clank bender on PS3. And
there were a million of those on PS3 and PS2.
And I think I was on like my 4th Ratchet and Clank game on PS3, and I was like, this is really good. I just don't feel the need to play another one of these. And that feeling has lasted for 10 years. Because I'm like the new one on PS5 looks great. But I'm like, I played a lot of those in a very short amount of time.
I did play the Ratchet and Clank that came out on PS4.
Oh, the one that was based on the movie?
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I did watch the movie. I thought it was bold of the movie to just use the game's cutscenes or vice versa. I assume they were just produced in tandem and they were like, why make new cutscenes when we can just like awkwardly use some of these? But it was fine.
Yeah, I feel like now where I'm at now, and it's going to tie into, I guess, the future topic at the end of the episode. I think that I'm going to have a lot more games that come out and I'm just like, oh, that's for the children now.
As your kids get older, you may notice some more stuff too. Like, we may not even be aware of some of the games that we're not playing.
Yeah.
Roblox. Like,
Roblox, 1,000%.
There you go. Yeah, perfect.
Shocked
yeah.
I didn't even come up with that, because that is one that like I saw my nieces and nephew that they're like ranging from like 10 to 16.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, they were into Roblox, and I was just like, explain this to me like I am a child, or rather, explain this to me like I am an adult.
Right. The children seem to get it.
I have a video game website. Like, y'all have played Wii with me when you were a kid. Like, listen, 16-year-old, I carried your toad body throughout New Super Mario Brothers on Wii. Now tell me what Roblox is.
Do you know what Roblox is yet? Did you figure it out?
I mean, it's just a bunch of like random ass games that like people do things. Like, it's so weird.
I've had it explained to me more as it's like an engine than it is an individual game.
There was like an Adopt Me game that was super popular that they were showing me a lot of.
I watched some people play the Squid Games game on there.
Yeah. It just made me feel like a grandpa. Like, I'm there, like, watching over their shoulder, watching them play this game, and just being like, this doesn't look fun.
Yeah.
Where's the Mario Kart?
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah, no, Roblox is, like, literally the perfect example.
Yeah.
I can't believe that didn't pop into our heads earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that.
And Minecraft, to an extent, too. Although Minecraft is a game that... After I played Minecraft, I didn't play Minecraft until it came out on Wii U.
Yeah, the definitive release.
Yep, because they threw Nintendo bullshit in it, so I was all about it. And I played Minecraft, and I'm like, oh, okay, I totally get that. Like, it's just like you build around, you can do the creative mode, you can do the stuff where there's a bunch of creeps show up. And then even playing Minecraft Dungeons, which I reviewed on Switch, like, and that was like, oh, like, here, there's structure to it. And I forget what's the Minecraft game coming out next year?
Minecraft Legends.
Yeah, which, like, that also looks good. Like, I think they're doing cool things with that franchise, and that base game is just, like, magically strong. For one of my kids' friends' birthday parties, they went to an arcade near me. And, like, a lot of it, like, they got a shitload of the arcade 1-Up machines. It's totally fine. I had a great time. I played a lot of the four-player Pac-Man Battle Royale machine with, like, a bunch of 4 and 5-year-olds. Blast. Absolute blast. But they had couches, and, like, when it opened up to the public, after, like, because, like, we were there, like, an hour early because we had a birthday party going on. When it opened up to a public, like, two kids came in and just sat down on a couch and played Minecraft together. And I was like, okay, yeah, I totally get that.
Minecraft came out while I was in college, and I failed classes because of Minecraft.
I think it came out right after I graduated, or, like, right around that time.
Between Minecraft and Elder Scrolls Oblivion, like, I failed miserably at college. I'd be, like, just sitting on my couch, happily, like, making an aqueduct because they had just added water physics to the game. And then look at my class and be like, oh, I'm very late for everything. Yeah.
I mean, it's better than Oblivion coming out when you're a senior in high school and you're just kind of like, well, I already got into college. What's the point?
What are they going to do to me now?
Yeah.
That, oh man, that game. I think with Oblivion, it was specifically, there was a DLC pack that came out later.
Yeah.
That was just, I have very distinct memories of doing whatever the Shia Goroth DLC was for Oblivion until my laptop was running so hot that it was burning my legs.
Oh wow, you were rocking all that. I was playing it on Xbox 360, like the console vidiot I am.
When I went to college I got a laptop for college and got one that could actually run games decently. So there was a while where I had a gaming laptop, and I'm pretty sure I just murdered it because I was playing games on it.
I had a tower when I went to college 34 years ago. No.
Right.
But I had a tower laptop, and I was like, I played a bunch of StarCraft when I was in college, which is the only time that I played StarCraft.
Yeah.
Because it was just like I had, like, it was one of those things where, like, I got, like, an old copy of it and then just played it. Like, my suite mate at the time was very into StarCraft. So he'd just be like, yo, man, let's go. And I'd be like, all right. And I had a bunch of emulators because initially when I went to college, I'm like, I'm not going to bring video game systems. I'm too cool for that. I'm just going to play PC games and emulators on my computer. And then the first time I went home, I'm like, well, I'm going to bring my Xbox 360 and my GameCube, and everybody wants to play Smash Brothers. So we're just going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, now that you say that, I must have got that laptop my senior year of high school, because that's the laptop that I played through Super Metroid on for the first time.
Oh,
during class when I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's I believe we've bonded over the fact that we both just played through entire video games during high school classes.
Yes, I did Portal as well. OK, I'm going to move on to the next part of this email.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that question. That was fun. I can do this part.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
You asked about Wii U games. I bought a Wii U later, and honestly, the system was my Zelda HD / GBA VC / YouTube system. The only unique game I got into was Xenoblade X, but my dog at the time, and until recently, freaked out at the dings every time you moved a menu option, even with headphones, and I couldn't play it muted. I did rather like the beveled edges of the discs. I would replay Twilight Princess on the GameCube given the option. I pre-ordered the game at Toys R Us for the 2005 release. lost that fiver. I guess maybe the Toys R Us closed or he moved. I bought it in 2006 since I figured I wouldn't be able to get a Wii. Love the game. One of my most regrettable trade-ins was my GameCube version. I did it after getting a Wii since everyone said the Wii version was immutably superior to it. Yeah, it's not. The Wii U version is my third favorite Zelda game after the third and the first. I have Breath of the Wild on the Wii U, by the way. Thanks. Love the podcast.
Well, thank you for your email. I'm glad you tried to play Xenoblade X. The Wii U was a crazy system for Zelda games because you could play almost all of them on it, which, and like, still can't.
What Zelda games can't you play on that system?
You cannot play Four Swords Adventures without modding it. It is technically compatible with GameCube games, but you have to mod it to make it read them.
Yeah, because you have on Virtual Console, you've got both NES games.
Yep.
You don't have Link's Awakening.
No.
Okay, you do have, and you don't have the Oracle games, but you do have Link to the Past. You've got the N64 games. You've got both GameCube games in HD form. You've got Breath of the Wild and Skyward Sword you can play on Wii.
Did they never add Game Boy Color to Wii U Virtual Console?
No. No, it's just GBA. Okay. And then, yeah, the DS games are playable there, GBA games. Did they? I don't think they released the Link to the Past GBA version.
I don't believe so.
The Four Swords part of that is
fine. That would be a very Nintendo thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like 17 versions of Mario Bros. On the Switch. So, yeah, it's a shame that stuff is closing down because it's if you just want to play Zelda games, it's a good system to buy.
It's the thing with Virtual Console that was supposed to work is that like then it's access to all these games, you know, as if it's a virtual console.
Though I will say it's not the best way to play the N64 Zelda. No, emulator was pretty rough.
Yeah. I'd say, honestly, if the mixture of emulation quality and accessibility, playing those N64 Zelda games on the Switch is a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, well, and they've been cleaned up a lot now, too.
Yeah.
Since the launch of that service. And yeah, if they were to, you know, if they were to put Wind Waker and Twilight Princess on Switch, we'd be caught up with the Wii U, right?
Well, I mean, we'd have all the 3D Zelda games would be on Switch.
Yeah. Well, all the 2D stuff, with the exception of the Oracle games and Minish Cap.
Yeah, and I guess, Link's Awakening is there in remade form.
Right. And, like, it's just as bad as it always has been. You just didn't notice.
Yeah, because you were impressed by the fact that they got a Zelda game running on a Game Boy.
Yep.
Which, honestly, still very impressive.
Oh, yeah. I will say, I have played through more of that game on my Zelda Game & Watch than I have on the Switch Remake, because it runs better on the Game & Watch. So you know what? I'll take the black and white graphics, because I like a reasonably stable frame rate that doesn't cut itself in half every time you go outside.
I played through Link's Awakening on Switch, but the whole time I was like grimacing throughout most of the game.
I just spent the whole time being like, dude, just lock the frame rate to 30. Yep. Like, stop trying to trick me into thinking it's 60. Like, why are you like it pretty stably hits 30, so just lock it down. But I really hope that if Grezzo does another 2D remake, their engine gets some love and attention.
You know what's wild? It's been 3.5 years. Or I guess before Link's Awakening, like any kind of follow-up comes out, because I don't think they're going to announce one and like release one tomorrow. Although that'd be cool. Do it, Nintendo.
Be nice. That and the Metroid Prime remaster.
It'll be over 3.5 years since Link's Awakening came out. Like, it's been a very long time.
Did they do Miitopia after that, or was that before that?
Okay. Yeah.
Like, but other than that, like, we don't know what else they've been working on.
Yeah, because they did the Luigi's Mansion 3DS port. But that was, I think, the year before, because that came out before 3, and Luigi's Mansion 3 was out in 2019.
That was a late 3DS game.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people played it. Yeah, the last thing they did was Miitopia, and that came out in 2021.
Okay.
So it's not as ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how long of a how intensive of a port job Miitopia was.
I assume that they are either doing another 3DS port or a Zelda remake, or porting their Zelda remakes from 3DS, which feels like the ultimate culmination of those things.
There's a lot of, I mean, it is, it's one thing to look at it in that HD development, especially when, I mean, Grezzo was primarily a 3DS studio. Yeah, like as far as like games that, like, you know, they formed in, well, I guess they formed in 2006, because I did bring up their Wikipedia just to see if there was anything else since Miitopia, but up until Link's Awakening, they just did handheld games. And I think it's something that maybe we all lose sight of when we're like, wow, it's been so long since this team made a game, is that making a 3DS game compared to making a game for Nintendo Switch, there is one, like the budgets for those games are way different.
Right.
And the development time for those games, unless you're the Pokemon company, are way different.
Yeah.
Because you do think that like they had a run where, you know, Grezzo had Majora's Mask 3D and Triforce Heroes were games that they helped out with that came out in the same year.
Yeah.
Granted, Majora's Mask was the start of that year. Triforce Heroes was later. And I think Majora's Mask was a game that might have been sat on for a little while. And I think Triforce Heroes was a game that was rushed a little bit.
Well, and they weren't the lead on Triforce Heroes, right? They were just a support studio for it.
Yeah, EPD. Yeah, it was they co-devved it with EPD.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if we look at Link's Awakening as sort of their Wind Waker HD, like their way to learn the system, then I think some of it is a bit more forgivable. And maybe there's a reason they chose that as the Zelda game to test it out with. Because I didn't play the Miitopia remake, but everything I saw, it looked like they did a nice job cleaning it up. Because, you know, if you just throw a 3DS game in HD, like you can tell. And Miitopia looked very nice.
Yeah, like I think there was a demo for it that I messed around with. And like, that game's fine. I just don't like there's a comedy to that game, but I also still find it funny that like the glory of Miitopia on 3DS was that you had like a decade, well, not a 5 years of Miis building up on your 3DS. The Switch like added Miis for Miitopia.
Miitopia was a game built with the 3DS hardware in mind. So put it on Switch. Maybe they're doing the Kid Icarus Uprising remake that Sakurai evilly teased.
Yeah. I mean, or Ever Oasis HD.
There you go.
Ever Oasis was a really good game. But I think it also was a 3DS game that came out after the Switch came out. So if you're like, oh, it sold poorly, we should kill it, like then it's your fault, Nintendo.
Yep.
You that made a decision. Metroid. It was bad.
Yep.
You let Mercury Steam make another Metroid, best-selling game of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Let Grezzo make another Ever Oasis.
It could work. You never know. Maybe they're just paying their way to another one. Every few games, they get to do their own thing. All right. Well, with that, our kind of news story-like thing from this week, we got a brand new Fancy Pants trailer for the Super Mario Brothers movie that is coming out next year.
And there was a Nintendo Direct around it, which...
Right.
All right, so at this point, we have had 4 voice actors from the Mario movie have some kind of, like, weird at-home selfie.
That's, like, horribly mixed and, like, way too quiet below the music, so you can't hear what they're saying.
So let's rank... So it's Chris Pratt, Jack Black, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Seth Rogen.
Okay.
4th place, I feel like it's Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt's like his setup was weird. I don't know what good drugs he was on where he's just like taking weird pauses and talking about killing Koopas in like a game that where Koopas aren't in it or whatever. But he's 4th.
I think Anya Taylor-Joy might be 3rd, not because of anything she said.
I like her door.
I couldn't hear anything she was saying.
She's got a nice door. I think she probably painted it herself.
I don't know about the other two.
Maybe it was just because it was going from Anya Taylor-Joy to Seth Rogen, but Seth Rogen is number 1 for me for 2 reasons. One, got a really nice backdrop. Just looks like
a place that
I want to go hang out with him. He's probably making pottery and doing what he does.
No.
I mean, that was a thing he did over the pandemic where he just like makes ceramics all the time.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He also has the dog named Zelda. Like, that was a good touch.
I did like Miyamoto then listing off all of the dogs on his street that have
Mario and Koopa.
Yeah.
Jack Black, you know, brought the thunder. But he very, very close second.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen brought a dog. He skewed the proceedings.
Yeah, that does help.
So to the trailer.
Yes. I'm feeling surprisingly good about this movie. Like, I don't expect it to be good, but like, I'm excited for it. I like the look of it. As far as like the other characters' redesigns, Luigi, they did a great job. Like, Luigi just looks like Luigi.
Yeah.
He kind of just looks like Luigi looks. There isn't that Charlie much Day's of a voice, shift to him.
From what we heard of Charlie great. Day's voice.
Yep.
Great.
Good job. Well done. No notes.
Yeah.
I think
Peach seems fine. Yeah.
She looks good. She looks, her face is very low on her head. But other than that, I have no complaints. I like that it seems like they're making her a real character.
Yep. Yeah. Like that. I mean, I hope she doesn't get like kidnapped in the third act or something. It would be cool if they kind of avoid that trope throughout the entire movie.
All of the shots we've seen of her are from like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't appear for the rest of the thing. Yeah.
It's like the equivalent of like Breath of the Wild, where you're like, wow, like Zelda's going to be with you the whole game. And it's like, nope.
Nope.
Yeah. And I do. I mean, it's easy to dunk on Chris Pratt, but like, it's fine. I think I'm going to go into that movie, and at the end of the movie, I won't just be like, oh my God, Chris Pratt. I'll just be like, okay, I didn't notice him.
Yeah, I think the inherent problem with most of the casting in this movie I really like, but the inherent problem with casting screen actors as opposed to voice actors in your animated film is that what you're going to wind up with is all of those screen actors playing these characters in pretty much their voices, with a couple exceptions. And so, like, I think Chris Pratt is an inoffensive actor most of the time. He'll be fine. I just think he will probably be the weakest of that casting. Like, I feel like he was definitely cast more as a name than as a, like, he'll be perfect. Like, nobody cast Charlie Day for his, like, oh, like, he'll be real, the kids will love him. But it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, and I like, we saw some Yoshis in the background. And it seems like they are kind of taking like the expansive worlds of Mario games.
Yeah.
Like the different galaxies.
Peach referenced galaxies. We saw some Mario Kart-ing, like literal Mario Karts on Rainbow Road.
Frickin' Road.
Yeah. So they seem to be embracing, the Mario extended universe, I suppose.
Yeah. What is very curious, one, we did see Donkey Kong in this.
Yes.
And we saw a lot of Kongs. There was some Diddy, there's some Funky.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameos back there.
Yeah, yeah. We saw the new redesign of Donkey Kong. We still have not heard Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong yet.
Yeah, do you think Donkey Kong talks, or do you think he's just making Donkey Kong noises?
Donkey Kong laughs, and it's just Seth Rogen's laugh.
I mean, have you heard modern Donkey Kong's laugh? Because it's not that far. Yeah. Like,
I heard a lot of people like being like, oh, like they're going to make a Seth Rogen's going to voice Donkey Kong in a Donkey Kong movie. It's going to be terrible. I'm like, no, that's perfect.
Yeah, like ever since they stopped using a library sound effect for Donkey Kong's voice like they did on N64, like Donkey Kong Country Returns, Donkey Kong is just a dude going, he's very Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
So, no, I think he's probably about right for that.
Because it does seem just by the fact that what they're adding to Super Nintendo World next is a Donkey Kong Land. It does seem like they are positioning that if they were to do another movie after this movie, it'll probably be Donkey Kong, or there will be some kind of Donkey content.
Kong tent.
There will be some of that after this movie, and how cool would it be if they somehow got Rare to play ball and Banjo and Kazooie show up at a Donkey Kong movie or something?
I mean, I'll just highlight that Donkey Kong, Banjo-Kazooie, Conker, and Star Fox all canonically take place in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah, no, they
so
should.
So that's, you know,
yeah,
a lot Star of ripple Fox effects. Yeah.
Yep. I'm just really curious to see how it all comes together. Like, my expectations are this looks like it's going to be a good kids movie, which I have children, so...
Right.
Not that I'm like here being like, oh, I understand how I'm the arbiter of what's a good kids movie and not, but like having seen some of this crap,
yeah,
my standards for this movie aren't incredibly high, but the best part about everything related to this movie is seeing how much my oldest is just freaking out about it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's incredible.
I can't imagine this movie coming out when I was a
kid. Like, and that's what like I'm like watch as we rewatched the trailer like four times after it came out, just seeing him like giggle at everything and be so happy and being like, there's Donkey Kong, like look, they're racing on Mario Kart, like all that's like, it's incredible. And the best part was like, so they announced the Nintendo Direct the day before, and I told him after it got announced, I was like, hey kid, like tomorrow when you get home from school, like 5 o'clock, we're gonna watch, there's gonna be a new Mario trailer. And he was like, awesome. And he got home from school, he gets home from school around 4 o'clock, and I was finishing up work, came downstairs and was like, kid, what's happening in 5 minutes? And he's like, the Mario trailer.
He was ready.
And he was so ready.
Yeah.
I'm very much excited for this movie. Like I said, like my standards for quality for this movie are basically like, will it make me laugh and will I enjoy it? I'm not looking for like, this is going to be top 10 movie of the year. Like, no, I'm just looking for something fun because I know that the life that I live, I will watch this movie on loop for multiple times in my life.
I'm measuring it in relation to like the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, maybe Detective Pikachu,
League of Super Pets is a movie that we went through a phase of that one. Guess what? That the movie's totally fine. I honestly recommend it. The Star Fox video game that came, very bad video game, and it has, well, maybe not bad, just like it is.
It's boring.
Yeah.
It's the same level over and over and over again.
The best part about that game is the Rock and Kevin Hart sound alikes that sound like nothing like
them. Yeah, I forgot that that's who they were supposed to be.
Yeah, because I went from like literally watching the movie to like found out that game was on Game Pass and then played with my kid, and I'm just like, oh no.
Yeah. You know, it controls well.
Yeah.
Like I have played many an indie Star Fox clone that controls much worse than League of Super Pets. Yep. So they got that going for them.
But yeah, Mario movie, like 10 out of 10 trailer. I'm excited. Let's go. Can't wait for April.
Yeah, same. You know what I can't say feels excited and like they're looking forward to things in general? The entirety of the Nintendo fandom right now.
Yeah, we were talking before the show just about how it feels like there's a lot. I can't tell if it, like, I think it's definitely a little bit like me. Like, I've definitely, like, this fall, I did, you know, got a puppy. My day job's a little tougher than it has been in the past. That it just feels like there's a lot more apathy towards Nintendo than there was in the past couple years, which I think there's probably a couple explanations for it. The easy one is that Switch is getting longer in the tooth. That could be it. But it's even like just looking at like the fervor around indie worlds seems to be like that indie world was like announced and people were like, okay. And it was a pretty good indie world. Like, it wasn't like a bad one. It was
Story was there.
Yeah. We've been waiting for that for millennia, but it just feels like in general, like there's a little bit of malaise. And when I brought it up to John, like we kind of just reached a conclusion that like, just look at what this year has been. It's not like there's been bad. Like, I don't think the games have been bad. I still look at specifically the first half of this year when you do have like Arceus and Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which both just slap so hard.
It cuts off at Xenoblade 3.
Yeah.
It actually, weirdly, it cuts off at like chapter 6 of Xenoblade 3 is when things started. Yeah.
But yeah, so Xenoblade 3 came out at the end of July. And I'd say up to that point, like, you know, you had a good mix of, you know, like instant classics like Forgotten Land and Arceus. Maybe some things that were a little rockier, like, you know, Switch Sports is fine. I think Mario Strikers was really disappointing. I liked Three Hopes a lot, but it's a Fire Emblem, you know, Musou game, which your mileage may vary.
Sure.
And then, like, the last 4 months of the year, it's Splatoon 3, Bayonetta, and Pokemon, which, I mean, I'm enjoying Pokemon a lot, but there's a lot of, once again, coming back to the term apathy, because it runs like shit. Splatoon, I'm personally very disappointed in, because it just feels like the same game again, and I got a lot of disconnects.
Yeah, Splatoon I didn't buy. Pokemon, I think, is fantastic game design buried below just an absolute technical disaster of a game.
Yeah.
That I've actually, like, I haven't played it in a few days because I think both me and my wife just felt like, all right, we need a break from this shit show. Like, there's cool stuff here, but you can only play the same gym so many times hoping that it won't crash this time before you decide, all right, I'm going to take a break, come back later.
I still, knock on wood, no crashes yet.
I think that it must be that the key is to never play it online with another person ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I actually, over Thanksgiving break, I did play a four-player round of Scarlet and Violet, which was the glitchiest experience I've ever had with a Pokemon game. It was neat. We ran around desperately looking for Pichus, and a Houndoom got caught on a Pokeball and entered the stratosphere for no apparent reason. But yeah, it was an interesting experience. But yeah, every time I've played it online, something has happened. It's like without fail.
There's a new patch coming out for Pokemon tomorrow on December 1st. So
by the time this episode airs, it'll have Witcher 3 quality graphics.
There's a tweet from Nintendo of America. I happen to just look at my phone. A software update for Scarlet and Violet. We take the feedback from players seriously and will continue to work on improving these games. We are aware that players may encounter issues that affect the game's performance. Our goal is to always give players a positive experience with our games, and we apologize for the inconvenience. We take the feedback from players seriously and are working on improvements to the games.
I just don't know how long they can support. Like, there's a lot of work to do. I mean, it feels like there's like probably a year's worth of, I mean, the game's not done.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's a lot of development left to do on this game. And I don't know that they have the resources and teams available to do that, that aren't moving on to the next Pokemon game or DLC for this game. Unless they're just dedicating an entire team of Monolith to just fix this game.
I mean,
which might be
the real talk is that they're going to have DLC expansions like Sword and Shield, and those will probably also be where they kind of bake, like, whereas Sword and Shield, those updates were being like, we're going to put more Pokemon into the game, we swear. Mm-hmm. These DLC packs will probably be like, okay, more significant bug fixes.
You're just downloading all the missing frames.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do hope they leave in the jumping backwards up cliffs with your rideable Pokemon, because that's actually very helpful. That's just kind of like the Skyrim style. Like, if you know how to climb a mountain with a horse, go ahead and climb a mountain with a horse.
Yeah, I do love some of the jank, especially coming from a game like Xenoblade 3, which is, you know, like, a honestly, anybody that was like, man, Xenoblade 3 looks bad, like, should just stare at Pokemon and then back at Xenoblade 3 and be like, well, you're okay.
I think I don't get how you could look at Xenoblade 3 and think that that is a problematic Switch game in terms of graphics.
But it's also like playing that game, like, it's just more, it feels more deliberately designed. Like, there's definitely things like you can try to sneak around in Xenoblade 3, but for the most part, like, the world is more deliberate. And it feels like Pokemon wants to be like that, but then you'll clip through things and, like, basically sneeze and get to an area that you're probably not supposed to. I had a Pokemon evolve inside of it. Like, I was in a cave, and the, like, after the battle, when the Pokemon went to evolve, it spawned in a mountain, and as I rotated the camera around it, it showed like the interior of the mountain, which was just like empty space. It was very funny.
We had a moment where we went into a cave and the camera got stuck outside the cave in the void. which was, I always think that stuff is neat from just, you know, seeing how the map works kind of level. Yeah. But like, it's not something that the player should see.
Like, it is the kind of thing where, like, even if I'm enjoying it a lot in spite of the technical issues, like, this is embarrassing. It's so bad. And it's a shame. The game's incredible. The way, like, I do wish it was a little bit better signposted, like, what level you should be for different things. So,
I did realize, and I have to, you know, eat my own hat a little bit on that, that if you go to the Pokemon Center and ask Nurse Joy what I should do next, she'll generally tell you a thing that you're appropriately leveled for. And so I will give that one back to the game because I do remember it telling me I could do that. And I was like, I don't need your advice, game.
Yeah.
Now, what level should I be for this gym?
I do think what there is one, like, I guess, like, spoilers, sort of. But there was, I forget which gym it was, but it, like, was it the water guy? Yeah, it was the water guy. Because then you had to, like, he left his wallet or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if he played it or not. But you go to, like, another town, and near that town is the Don Paradox Pokemon for Don Fan, Iron Treads.
Yes.
Might be different. I think that's one that's different in Scarlet. But I'm playing Violet, so Iron Treads was there. And that was, like, right near where I was. So I was like, all right, like, on my way back to do this gym, I'm going to go check out this Titan Pokemon. He one-shotted everybody on my team from where I was in the game. And, like, that, like, the thing with that is that, like, that's, like, there was really, walking up to him, the Pokemon were appropriately leveled for me.
Right.
Like, I got to him, and he pasted me.
Yes, I had the exact same experience with him.
Yeah, and, like, that, I mean, like, the other ones, like, you can kind of tell that, like, oh, like, you know, there's ones that are, like, in this icy area, like, I can't even really get to it yet. Because some of the things, like, I'm in one area right now for the psychic gym, I think. Yeah, because I haven't done it yet, but I'm in the town. Is that you really, unless you glitch the game, there's a cave that you can go through to get to that town. That is the only way to get to that town until you get different Titan powers.
Yeah.
But
and that's like, is that the gym in the bottom left hand side of the map?
Yeah,
that cave has a pretty substantial difficulty spike versus the Pokemon outside the cave.
Yeah, like I think inside the cave it's like level 30s and stuff. Like that was actually like I have gotten to the point where my team's around the 30s and 40s, and usually I'm just like destroying, laying waste to the Pokemon around me. And like I came across trainers that I hadn't fought that had like level 8 Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I'm like coming in there with like my leveled up starter and just pasting them.
I need the auto battle to work on those trainers.
Yeah.
Just go and have Arcanine just smack the shit out of some kid.
But it is a shame, and I hope that they do have updates where they make it better because the base game is very strong. There are aspects of this game that I think are the coolest shit I've ever seen in a Pokemon game.
Yes, Yeah, on a game design level, it's borderline my perfect ideal Pokemon game that I have wanted for my entire life.
Yeah. Like, even if it looks like poop, walking around that world and being like, I see a new Pokemon, let's go.
Yep.
But hopefully, maybe this update will solve everything. It won't.
But all of that to say that, yeah, it feels like right now we're sort of in a lull as far as, like, really exciting stuff goes. Like, even the big things like Pokemon have a pretty big asterisk on them.
Yeah, like this is the coolest game in the series in a while, but
yes. And I mentioned, you know, before the show that I think part of this also is that like the big exciting first party Nintendo titles like Tears of the Kingdom and Metroid Prime 4 feel like they're sort of like they're a moving goalpost. Like you get closer to them and then they just keep moving farther away. So we keep getting these other things, but it feels like we're not quite hitting, like Zelda's always a little farther away. Metroid, both Metroid 4 and then this remake of Metroid Prime 1, maybe, are just continuously like, oh, they're coming. There's no new Mario. Like, the key core titles are, like, floating nebulously out in front of you on a stick, and you can't quite catch up to them.
There's a good chance that Nintendo might have, like, an all-timer direct at some point next year.
Yeah, I mean there could be a direct where that has Tears of the Kingdom, Metroid Prime 4, and Metroid Prime remake,
and that could even be announcing a new Mario game too, because it's something that it has been 5 years since Odyssey. If you think that, I believe some of that team did do Bowser's Fury, but I don't think that would have been like a full team effort. Even that will be 2 years ago.
What I assume after Bowser's Fury that everybody just high-fived and figured they never needed to make another game again. Like, they're like, we did it, fam. That's the end of video games. We made the best one. And they just all went home.
But, like, yeah, like, as far as, like, a core Mario title, like, I mean, we still, like, Mario Strikers came out. Is that really the only Mario game that came out this year?
I mean, Mario and Rabbids if that counts.
Yeah, I'd say that counts, even if it's not developed by Nintendo, but that is definitely a Mario game. And you do have like the Mario Kart DLC coming out every couple months, which isn't a brand new game, but is you know, keeping the brand active.
Right, because that's what Mario Kart 8 needed. It was really looking like it might die.
Yeah. But like there hasn't been a mainline Mario game in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And with the movie coming out, maybe we're going to see a blowout. Maybe it's going to be like, hey, the movie's out. Also, like, to make sure that you keep watching this movie and you buy everything with this movie, here's 45 games coming out this year.
Yeah, feels like Mario, Donkey Kong could be valid. Like, it feels like there's some, like,
Miyamoto did make titles. A big deal out of that new design.
He did. Hey, it's a great new design.
I think he's
just happy to have finally reclaimed Donkey Kong from Rare.
Yeah.
They redesigned his precious boy 30 years ago. And he's like, I got him back.
Yep.
I made his head fat again.
And he smokes all the reefer.
Yep. As I always intended.
Yeah.
According to my artistic vision.
I mean, what do you think fueled the design of Donkey Kong back in the day?
I mean, we have so many stories. We have a lot of stories from the Argonaut team of working in a small room where Miyamoto would just come in and angry smoke at them and then leave. So, like, who knows? We don't know what he was smoking, that he would come in, smoke frantically, and leave.
But there's this overall malaise that, like, I do think it's Switch is getting long in the tooth. Nearing the end of a generation. I think this is also COVID's impact is actually being felt more, because I think Nintendo, more than most companies, I think they had some things in the can already. Like, that was, I believe, most of what came out in 2020 was like shit that was already done. Like, I think Bowser's Fury, that came out early 2021, when like COVID hit, that was probably like in the final stages of design and probably got QA'd over the course of 2020.
Well, and we give first party Nintendo some crap for like this year this holiday season being kind of a sparse holiday season for first party releases. But you go look at, you know, Sony has God of War and that's it. And Xbox is also Pentiment. A company. There you go. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, they've got Obsidian's tiny little C game.
Yep. And that's all. They have a lot of promise on the horizon, but it feels like a very kind of sparse holiday season for everybody.
Yeah, and this is probably because if you backtrack a little bit, like, COVID, you know, hit everything real hard 2 years ago. Like, think about game development timelines that aren't Pokemon, because Scarlet and Violet was probably an idea that was concocted halfway through COVID. And then they had 2 weeks to make it. But like for normal games, you backtrack 2 years, that's probably when like full production is underway, and having it be where all of a sudden we need to figure out a complete new way to work, that's probably going to mess things up a lot. Like, it's different than when you're at the beginning of development and you're at the end of development, where there's, I mean, especially at the end, like, I think that's why, like, it's not the case with every game, but like, I think a lot of Nintendo's 2020 lineup kind of went off, not necessarily without a hitch, but a lot of those things were already in a place where they were, you know, clear vision, knew
they
had
the momentum.
Yeah. Whereas it's when you need to get things off the ground and all of a sudden it's like, we need to learn how to work entirely remotely. That's going to delay things. And Nintendo's still playing it close to the chest too. I mean, as of right now, what 2023 games do we even know that, or 2023 and beyond? We got those couple games in Q1. We got Fire Emblem Engage. We've got the Kirby's Return to Dream Land port remake thing. We got Zelda. And Metroid Prime 4 some year.
Prime 4 still hasn't had a year ever attached to it, right?
No, it's just TBD.
And of course, the Prime 1 remake remaster.
Yeah, and I mean, there are things that have been rumored. Like, there's even, maybe there's an F-Zero thing happening. But, like, that hasn't been officially announced. And
I think, didn't Giles Goddard come out and talk about F-Zero on Did You Know Gaming recently?
Did he?
I need to watch the entire thing. But the SparkNotes version that I got was that he did some initial work on an F-Zero game for Switch that got canned.
And that's funny.
That I guess when Digino Gaming asked him, like, can we see it? And he was like, I'd be fine with showing you, but I don't think I can.
God, he, current CEO Giles Goddard, just doesn't give a shit.
If anyone anywhere is going to, like, 10 years from now, randomly be on whatever social media we're on in 10 years and just be like, yeah, here's some footage of that F-Zero game we didn't make, it's gonna be Giles Goddard.
I mean, he did it with, like, here's, like, early stuff from Zelda.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he did it with goddamn Ocarina of Time. One day he was just like, here's first-person Zelda with portals. And everyone was just like, what? Are you allowed to do that?
This is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Giles has no idea what's going on.
When I first started with Nintendo World Report, I think this might have been a little bit because I think it was because Dylan Cuthbert was actively working with Nintendo at the time, because I think it would have been, they were doing DSiWare games, might have been when, like, Star Fox 64 3D was entering development. But I remember reaching out to him to do, like, an interview, because I think it might have been talking about DigiDrive, I don't know, or, like, stuff that he did in the 90s. And it was, like, a very, like, defensive, like, no, I can't talk about any of this. And cut to, like, 15 years later, just no fucks given.
I think both, because, like, I mean, Cuthbert had, like, a couple occasional interviews. Giles didn't exist. Like, he kind of just came onto the internet and suddenly had a bunch of footage of Zelda.
Yeah. Well, it's also, if you think about their timelines, I mean, Cuthbert, like, the last Nintendo project that he did was Star Fox 64 3D. That was over a decade ago. Giles's was fucking Tank Troopers, which I do love the salt from him where he's like, we could have made it online, but Nintendo was like, nah.
Yeah. I believe he also said he had a Switch version of Tank Troopers done.
Yeah, yeah.
That never came out. I don't remember what interview that was on. That might have been on a Reddit AMA or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's had some good Reddit AMA quotes. I believe there was something along the lines of, like, just absolutely dragging Nintendo of how, like, I think they're more worried about money than they are about, like, creative games.
Yeah. Yeah. He could maybe stand to watch what he says a little bit, but I do love him.
Yeah, yeah. Big fan.
He has also said that he would like to make another Star Fox game, and that he would just make a straight... People were like, what would you do if you made a Star Fox game? He's like, I'd make a goddamn rail shooter. Like, like, he's like, I'd make a game that was like the last Star Fox game I made, but new. Yeah. All right.
Did you see the stuff with Yuzo Koshiro, like, just making, like, a shoot-em-up for Genesis?
No.
he posted a tweet about it, and he keeps on, like, replying to the tweet being like, holy shit, I didn't know people cared this much.
I think that's a common thing with a lot of these developers, yeah, where, like, they don't realize that there are people who legitimately follow their work.
Yeah.
And then when they realize that, like, why are all these people freaking out about this Ocarina of Time footage, suddenly it clicks that, like, oh, you guys care?
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
I do have moments, like, actually, my oldest was playing Mario 64 on Switch and was playing around with the face of Mario 64. And I'm just like, you're like, we kind of know that dude.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I need to find an excuse to talk to Giles.
Yeah. No, 1080 retrospective.
I was thinking we do a deep dive into Steel Diver Subwars.
Okay.
Like the documentary nobody wants.
Yes. Why aren't we doing this right now?
Because I have other documentaries nobody wants that I want to make.
But, so, like, I mean, Steel Diver's got a compelling story.
Yeah, I should add that. I hope that I would send that email out and the response back would just be like, why?
Yeah, who is this for? Me?
Yeah, literally no one, just me. Do you want to do it anyway?
I mean, you have the DS tech demo, the origins of it, then how it was a 3DS launch title that everybody was like, why?
Yeah.
And then Subwars, which was like maybe on the short list for best 3DS game no one played.
Yeah, it's Subwars is so good.
Yeah.
Tank Troopers is pretty good too, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just do a Giles Goddard on 3DS documentary. That'd be good. I'm glad he's got Chu Hai and that they're actually putting out more stuff.
They're putting out video games.
Yeah. He kind of went silent there for a second.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. Vitae also made Rock and Roll Climber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we should just do the Vitae documentary.
Listen, of all of the companies that I think I could 100% get like all access to just do that, they're the one. Like,
yeah.
Like, we know their PR guy. He likes us. We could make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I've never played Theta, which is the DS game that they made with Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I'd like to play it. Rock and Roll Climber is dumb but incredible. Have you ever played that?
No.
Oh my god. It is a WiiWare game that uses the balance board, and you do rock climbing with the Wii remote and the balance board. And then when you get to the top of the mountain, you shred on a guitar.
Nice. All right.
And they went from that and then made Steel Diver.
It's the natural progression of things. I would like to just, I feel like the opening question would have to just be like, all right, so your opening 3DS title was a 2D game. Why?
And I feel like the answer to that is quick, is that like, it's what Nintendo asked us to do.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It would be that's what Nintendo wanted them to do. Yeah. Anyway, is that the episode?
Sure.
Sure.
I will say that over the course of this episode, talking about the apathy that I seem to sense from the world of Nintendo, I came out of this being a little optimistic that I think next year is going to be interesting.
I think next year has Tears of the Kingdom, at least, assuming it actually comes out when it's supposed to. And I think a real possibility, I don't know that Metroid Prime 4 comes out next year, but there's a trailer next year, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I would hope. Like, and And I think also, I mean, like, this year was definitely a little bit like getting back to normal with like marketing patterns and events and stuff like that. But I think 2023 is going to be like actually normal.
Yeah, we'll see how E3 goes 2023.
I mean, PAX East is going to be at a normal time that it usually is. I think it's the second to last weekend in March. But I mean, it could be like GDC. Nintendo might actually have a presence there because they did not last year. But we'll see. We'll find out.
Hopefully it will be good.
Yeah. And I guess next week, Game Awards will happen after we record next week. But I don't know. We'll talk about Twilight Princess.
We can do some predictions. I think it's I think all you have to do for predictions is look at who's given the Game Awards the most advertising money for their game.
What and then Devolver that's the one that digital wins. Game. Will win best indie.
Yeah.
Failing that, what game backed by a major publisher will win best indie?
Honestly, I think it's Tunic, because Tunic was a Game Awards announcement.
I mean, it is a thing. I'd like to state that, you know, Tunic gets it. Like, this is fine. No complaints. This is a very good video game. It's not my favorite game, but it's good.
It's better than Stray.
Yeah. Stray, and like, also, I do love, like, the definition of indie games just wild, because, like, yo, Stray literally is like funded by a fucking movie studio,
right?
I think Stray's fine, and Annapurna puts out a lot of great games, but like, they are a subsidiary of a legitimate movie studio.
Yeah,
they are, I guess, like quasi independent movie studio. They're not like, you know, Universal or Disney or whatever, but like,
sure,
they ain't small.
Yeah. Yeah, they have channels to work through.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Game Awards are the one time a year where I might actually drink multiple beers that night. Because it's you got to have something to dull the pain of just having Jeff Keighley stab you repeatedly in the butt.
I do feel like I've moved on past from the like, I'm going to ignore it, to I will now hate watch it.
Oh, I hate watch it because I had this thing where I'm like, and I know I could just get on Twitter, but I don't like the delay time.
That's what I did for a couple years, was I just follow along on Twitter and be like, oh, cool, there's a Bravely Default 2 announcement.
So I always watch it, and it doesn't get better the more you drink. Like, I'll just say that right
we
now.
Should,
we need some sort of drinking. I did have the drinking gummy of every time Jeff Keighley shows up in the game he's promoting. Or gives an award to, you have to take a drink.
here's a pitch. If you're listening to this and you got this far and you're still listening, cool. Join us in the Discord. Maybe we'll do some kind of like voice chat hangout during the Game Awards or something.
Well, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, because I think it was a Thursday night.
Yeah, everybody stay up late and party. It's also going to be like 10 hours long.
Probably.
Because like they have no sense of pacing.
They'll give out a bunch of awards before it even happens. And
yep, most of the awards will be in commercial breaks.
Yep.
The Rock will show up and he won't be wearing any clothes for some reason. It's going to be a disaster.
No, this time it'll be like Jason Momoa, but naked.
That'd be better. But listen, I guess at least they're playing to my interests. I suppose I respect that. Anyway, if you have a favorite drinking game to play during the Game Awards, you can send that in to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. If you have a game that you are looking forward to next year, you could email us about that, or how you're feeling about this holiday season of games. There you go. That'll save us. And maybe your opinions on the Super Mario Brothers movie. I've already seen some hot Reddit takes about how they're too woke because Princess Peach is a character. be sure to get all those hot takes in at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. If you do, we will probably make fun of you on the show, but you know, whatever floats your boat. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. Thanks for joining me, Neil. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.